Well, our moms think we're funny.
Alright, what is up, y'all? Akomi here with another episode of Our Moms Think We're Funny. Turk is still not back. He's still not back. So, you know, last I heard, he's saying that he needs me to, like, transfer some money from the company fund to pay for this ransom that the Somalian pirates are requesting on his behalf. And I'm just gonna put this out there. Just gonna kind of clear the air as far as it goes. I appreciate Turk taking the initiative to try to to solve this problem himself. You know, I think that's really big of him. Shows a lot of personal growth. But you know, let's get real. Every time I try to use the company funds for stuff, he always says that, you know, we don't have the capital to do that kind of thing. You know, I wanted to use the company funds to buy an Amphicar. Wanted to use the company funds for a Vegas trip, which, you know, to Turk's credit, he did say he would have been fine with me doing that if I had invited him. It was trying to, like, go solo. But still, you know, it seems like every time I want to use the company credit card for stuff, or, you know, the company bank account, he's always like, oh yeah, we can't afford you just doing all that weird stuff, so whatever. He'll figure it out. I believe in him. I think he's got this. I do think he'll figure it out, but I agree with this assessment. You know, I've looked over our bank records and all that, our expenses and everything. I don't think that we can afford to just, you know, give $25,000 to Somalian pirates, especially when, you know, Turk is worth way more than that to me. So, you know, I wouldn't want to insult him by giving them an insultingly low price. So, anyway, we're doing another episode here. What I thought would be fun, I considered reviewing another 40 of Liefeld's worst drawings. And, you know, we may go back to that for another one, but I actually thought this would be a fun idea. I wanted to revisit the Bad Webcomics Wiki. I'm not sure the fully proper way to pronounce that. Now this wiki is very this wiki is very near and dear to my heart, because believe it or not, this is how I discovered Sonichu. This is how I discovered Chris Chan. I would look for bad, terrible webcomics on this, and one day I stumbled across their article for Sonichu, and I was like, what is this? And that sent me down the tremendous rabbit hole that is Quick Lore. And, that was right around the time of the Tom Girl saga. That was right when Chris was starting to grow his hair out. At the time, he was kind of looking like Jeff Daniels, I believe it was. Hold on, am I getting the name right? Whoops, caps lock. Not even that many drinks into it yet. Yeah, he looked like Jeff Daniels at the time. He looked like Dumb and Dumber era Jeff Daniels, and boy howdy, if I knew what a Pandora's box I was opening at the time, my lord. So, what I thought would be fun to do, rather than just reading a bunch of random articles, you know I ain't all about just stealing other people's content unless it's, you know, really funny to do so. But, you know, I respect these article writers a little too much to just, like, oh, I'm just going to read your article and call it a podcast. No, what I thought we could do here, and I have no idea if this is going to make for a decent a decent episode or not, but what I thought we could do here is pop on here. So it's, if you Google Bad Webcomics Wiki, then it'll pop up as your top search result. I believe it's something to the effect of, like, badwebcomicswiki.shoutwiki.com. So, you know, why waste all the time typing all that when you can just type in badwebcomicswiki into Google and click the top result, you know? What I thought we could do here is just click on the random page. And from there, we can see if the webcomic that pops up for us is still active. And then we can review that bad webcomic ourselves. We may need to do this several times. Now, a lot of times on the Bad Webcomics Wiki, those comics are not always active. A lot of times when the Bad Webcomics Wiki writes a review, those people just take their stuff down. Or sometimes it's, like, you know, a really controversial creator, and in the time between them writing the article and now, they've done something so completely unforgivable that they have just scrubbed their presence from the internet. It's like a 50-50 shot. I have found some webcomics that are absolutely still available, and I have found some that have been long gone. So, yeah, here we are on the main page. Up here in the left, just under the logo, which the logo is, it says Con El Bad, Control the Bad, Bad Webcomics Wiki. Interesting. But yeah, so under navigation, you've got main page, the review index, forum, recent changes, random page, author responses. It could be interesting to do author responses. Ooh, tutorials and lectures. I wonder what that's all about. Quality art and contact us. So of course, we just want to pop up here to random page. I am very curious about their tutorials. Oh, wow. It's just all kinds of stuff, man. They got, like, wow. Information about the website, actual webcomic tutorials, webcomic group reviews, good webcomic reviews, well, we're not interested in that, and site-related instructions. Okay. Well, I'll come back to that later off mic. But yeah, here we go. Random page. Brrr. Okay. They have recommended to us Spinneret. They have given a Code Yellow moderate NSFW warning. Cheesecake. The following comic desperately wants to be porn without actually being porn. Contains more fan service and fetish fuel than any actual sex. Usually patterned off bad harem comedy anime. It may not even have full nudity. At most, may contain exposed boobs. Hell yeah. But your parents and teachers and co-workers will surely give you some odd glances if they catch you seeing this. View with caution. So, God, I hope that Spinneret is still active. They're showing some sample pages. It actually looks like competent draftsmanship, but it's absolutely fetish fuel. So, I'm sure this review is, like, fully, interesting. I would love to check out the review, but let's just see if it's still around. Down at the bottom at links, we have a link to the comic spinnyverse.com. Are you still active? Hell yeah, it's still active. So we're just gonna start at the beginning of this comic, and you know, we're gonna gather some impressions. We're obviously not gonna read through the entire comic. I have no idea how long it is. Based off of this most recent page, it's still active, which, wow, because it's just a random action page. White Heron, issue 4, page 35. I mean, it is competent draftsmanship. This person obviously has, like, done their research when it comes to furry art and when it comes to, like, manga style, so... let's see. Alright, we're gonna click these little double arrows that takes us back to the first page from February 9th, 2010. Alright, Spinneret. It is a chick with six arms, coupling with her two legs. I guess that means it is, like, actually Spider-Girl. Wow. Okay. The story by Crazy Crow and art by Walter Gomez. I immediately see what the wiki was talking about here. It desperately wants to be porn. that this skin tight superhero costume, like, you can still see fully visible nipples in like a clearly defined camel toe, so obviously they're trying desperately to be porn without showing porn. But yeah, it is like reasonably competent draftsmanship. I'm just gonna point this out because Turk and I have bitched about this so many times on the podcast. Multiple arms does not work if the character does not have multiple pectoral muscles. So it doesn't really hold up as to how, and you know, we talk about that with like Machamp or Goro or any character with like four arms. A character with six arms just doesn't really make a lot of sense. But other than that, it's like, you know, it's passable coloring. It's you know, it's real, I don't work in that style. So, you know, I have to give respect to it. I'm not crazy about how they handled the hair there. They definitely know how to draw hands, I'll give them that. Probably my biggest complaint is less from an artistic draftsmanship perspective and more from a graphic design standpoint. They've got this logo, which is in white, and they've got issue one, which is in white, and then they placed it in front of the moon, which has a white halo glow around it, so the logo is kind of lost in the glow of the moon. Best way to avoid that is just outline your letters. You don't want white on white. You know, it's kind of like the drips business cards. You don't want that. So the easiest way to avoid that is to outline your letters. But yeah, okay. Let's see what the hell we are getting into. Wow, this is okay, like, really, no, this is way more anime slash manga than furry. I got to admit, I'm moderately disappointed. Okay, so they're at least not using Comic Sans as their font, so, you know, I'll give them that. I am not crazy about these hexagonal speech bubbles. That's pretty bad. Now, this is just my little personal crusade against anime and manga, against, like, the influence of, like, manga within American artists. And I think I've bitched about this to Turk before, but it drives me crazy because when I come into a manga-style webcomic for the first time ever, I don't know, am I supposed to read it left to right like an American comic, or am I supposed to read it right to left? That just drives me crazy, because if you buy, like, a manga proper that wasn't, like, put out by Viz in the 90s, then you're supposed to read it right to left. You know, the binding of the book is on the right side of the pages. You're flipping from right to left, you're reading from right to left. So I have no idea what Spinneret expects me to do here. Based off of these bottom panels, it looks like, yeah, this dumb chick drops her Nokia phone into a vat of tarantulas and then dives her arm in. Okay. So, I mean, I don't hate the art direction here. I mean, like, if you're into manga, it's honestly not atrocious. Like, it's passable. It's passable, you know. Granted, we just came down from looking at 40 of Rob Liefeld's worst drawings, so, you know, to be fair, I just lowered the bar as far as I possibly could lower. I didn't even lower the bar. I set the bar down on the floor. But it's honestly not the worst anime or manga style. But you know, we don't have a lot of time to like try to go too crazy into the story. You know, we're 13 minutes in. I wanted to review a few of these, but okay. So it looks like this newscaster chick is talking to a professor about his revolutionary new genetic modification chamber. Okay, so it does read left to right, so good for them. Thank you for putting your English comic in the format of reading like an English comic, even though it's in a manga style. I respect it. That is vastly my preference, you know. You know, I read a lot of Tatsuki Fujimoto, I had to look over at my copy of his stuff. I read a lot of his stuff, you know, Chainsaw Man and all of his work before Chainsaw Man. Like, I respect his approach to the craft quite a bit, and of course, I'm a huge fan of Akira Toriyama. I have never read a full Dragon Ball Z comic. I read the first volume of Dragon Ball, but all of his, like, one-shots outside of Dragon Ball, like Sandland and a lot of stuff like that, and, you know, I have my respect for manga. Oh yeah, One Punch Man, of course, you know, I read One Punch Man. I've got my respect for it, but it drives me crazy when it's like, you're not a Japanese artist, and I understand that you're influenced by the Japanese art style. That's perfectly fine, it's completely valid, but it drives me up the fucking wall when it's like, you're a white chick from Wisconsin. You don't need to make your pages go right to left, like, please. So, nothing but respect for them properly doing this left to right, because, yeah, you're an American, you're pushing to an American audience, so, like, let the book read like it does. Okay. So, he's cranking his own hog here about, oh, it's true, my work could be used for medical research in the future, but the scope of my study is merely the inheritance of genetic traits in arachnids. So, you know, all those medical advances you get from studying spiders. I'm sure there's some benefit to, So, with no real context or introduction, we have the chick who's clearly going to be the spinneret. She's all excited, clutching her Nokia phone. She drops it into the vat of tarantulas, dives her arm in, and the professor says, "This is Heather Brown, one of my top grad students." So we don't really have a lot of introduction. So I'm just going to compare this to a very similar spider-based superhero. Perhaps you've heard of him. Spider-Man. In the original, like, 1960s Spider-Man comics, we get several pages of kind of learning who Peter Parker is. We get to kind of see, like, this is what his life is like. This is his relationship with Aunt May and Uncle Ben. This is, you know, the dynamics of how he's doing in school and how, you know, the struggles he has with girls, the struggles he has with bullies. They lay out a little bit of groundwork here. Unless I'm mistaken, it looks like Heather Brown is gonna get her genetic superpowers and sprout six arms, like, immediately. Sure enough, she's completely covered in numerous tarantulas. She says, "Nice to meet you." The newscaster's freaking out. The doctor here has his little hentai glasses where you can't see the pupils. Turk always says, if you're, like, looking at an anime or reading a manga and the guy has, like, eyeglasses that you can't see through, then that's a clear sign that he's a rapist. So, you know, I'll take Turk's word for it. Heather, what are you thinking? These spiders are highly mutagenic. You didn't get bit, did you? And she says, "No, I'm fine." Oh, holy shit, they're just, like, fully leaning into how derivative this is of Spider-Man. Because, like, clearly, I think enough people know at this juncture that, like, the origin of Spider-Man and getting bitten by the radioactive spider in a science lab, "You're not Peter Parker. A bite from one of these isn't going to give you superpowers. It may, however, develop a nasty infection." "Haha, very smooth, Heather. I saved your interview to the DVR so you can deliver your so you can relive your embarrassment when you get back." Okay, so it's not the best font out there. I mean, it's definitely serviceable, but, you know, I've got the page at 100%. I'm not zoomed in or anything. And when you're reading a webcomic, readability is the biggest thing. Like, you want to minimize the amount of scrolling or zooming that your readers have to do. So, the fact that those R's look like that, like, you don't really want that. The P's and the R's and the D's all look very, very similar, so I'm going to have to zoom in a little bit. I mean, no complaints at all about the art. It is perfectly fine as far as it goes. You know, is it my cup of tea? Not particularly. I'm not a weeb, but you know, it is absolutely fine as far as it goes. So we bring in... Okay, so they were kind of doing a little red herring. Again, it would have been nice to have a little bit more setup instead of, you know, on page one Spider-Man joke, but... Okay, when we get into the fetish fuel, because this is supposed to be a comedy podcast. God damn it. Okay, well, we're... I don't know if this is a Chekhov's gun, but here in the second panel on whatever page this is... February 18th, 2010 page. Could you alter the DNA of a human being with it? I beg your pardon? For example, could this be used to give a person superhuman powers? I understand that Black Tiger and Mechamade... God damn you idiots in the media! I'm doing research on spider genetics, and you infer that I'm going to cure fatness or turn people into Spider-Men? Don't you understand anything about science? This is just like the Super Hadron Collider. Scientists try to investigate subatomic particles, and you dogs on TV report that we're trying to make a black hole to destroy the world. This guy's a little bit unhinged. Maybe that's what they're trying to convey, but, like, good grief, man. Okay, so Heather Brown is texting her friend because they just included an emoji in there. Not an emoji, an emoticon. Okay. Well, I'm just going to kind of skim through this a little bit faster. We're 20 minutes in. I wanted to do a few webcomics, man, but I haven't gotten to, like, the good stuff here. And by the good stuff, I mean the bad stuff. Heather, we need the new prototype chamber up and running by 9 a.m. sharp. Stay all night if you have to. Dr. Lambha had better hope that she's salaried and not working hourly, because a time and a half adds up, baby. So, we now have another accident happening. She's working on the thing. There's a random, mysterious splatter of fluid, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. She falls into a vat of water while the wrench lands on the thing, and it's infusing spider DNA. So, they teased that she would get her powers exactly the way Peter Parker did, and then they didn't do it, but now they're just kind of, like, turning her into, like, Brindlefly. So, the machine... Well, they... Nope, they did it. I was going to say, oh, wow, they did another, like, false flag on it, but no. The machine shoots the beam and then explodes. That's a really nicely drawn explosion. I feel like they probably were influenced by Appleseed. I'm not a weeb. I swear I'm not a weeb. But, you know, like, that's a decent explosion. That's better than Liefeld could have done. But the problem I have here is they should have shown more of the gun in this first panel. They should have shown more of it shooting the beam, because right now you only see, like, the very tip end of the gun, and it's kind of glowing a little bit brightly, but it doesn't show that it's actually shooting a beam or anything, so I'm not crazy about that. But she comes crawling out of the pool, oh boy, and she's got six arms now. Dr. Lambha's gonna kill me. So she's wearing the big trench coat. She gets sexually harassed by men because, you know, she's a woman in comics. So these frat boys are trying to give her the shakedown. Accidentally yank her trench coat off. Showing the six arms, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like... Clearly we can see that her top arms are coming out of the shirt sleeves, but what about the other forearms? It doesn't show that, like, the shirt's ripped or anything. It's just, like, randomly there. Oh, no, okay. I spoke too soon. This next page, where she's picking the dude up, it does show that the shirt sleeves are ripped. But the shirt sleeves were intact in the previous page. So we're getting a little bit of inconsistency. I think that's just kind of, like, a continuity issue that a lot of rookie artists make. It's just those continuity issues, you know. If you're gonna draw your guy, like, getting his left knee pad ripped on his jeans or whatever, then you want to keep that consistent. But she went from having her t-shirt sleeves intact to now they're fully ripped. But yeah, she's clearly got the proportionate strength of a spider. I'm glad that they made it clear they weren't ripping off Spider-Man at the beginning, because otherwise I would think something was up there. Holy crap, I'm sorry. We didn't know you were a superhero. And she says, the Black Widow doesn't take kindly to rapists. Ugh. I don't think the dude was trying to rape her. I'm going to go back a page here. He asks her to come to the party. She says no. He puts his hand on her coat sleeve. He says, you're a lucky girl. Our frat's throwing our new school year kickoff. We each need to bring a girl like you. And then she slips out of the trench coat. We go to the next page, and she throws him into his friend and calls them both rapists. So, personally, I wouldn't think of that as being a rapist. Like, he was sexually harassing her, sure. He shouldn't have put his hands on her, sure. Is he a rapist? No. I mean, he put his hand on her coat sleeve, but then she's just like, you're a rapist! So, 2010, yeah, I guess this is about time for that. And so she starts referring to herself in the third person, like Cerebus. I'm glad that we're finally getting into some some of the weirder stuff. She's checking out her super buff spider chick arms, and she's like, wow, they're so dexterous. Okay, we're starting to get into the cheesecake stuff. Alright. Yeah, we've got a nice panel of her flexing all six arms, and flexing her abs. It's better not awaken anything in me. You know what? I'm going to, I just may send this to Turk. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. I might send this to Turk and just be like, does this do anything for you? He might be busy, you know. I don't wanna bug him. Alright, well we've got it photographed on the old Fabruski here. It's so she's flexing up her arms. We're about 26 minutes in. I'll give it a few more minutes, but I'd like to do another bad webcomic. But yeah, they've got that fully defined bra shot, that lacy bra. I totally get what the wiki's saying. But so far, I mean, this hasn't been like the most egregious thing I've seen. They've got a bit of humor here with yet more cheesecake as the roommate's tank top is nearly flying off. Holy crap, Heather, do you have six arms? They're really not going much into the logistics of how six arms is working, unless she's like, I guess she's technically exclusively wearing tank tops, but I'm pretty sure that like chick tank tops are different than what dudes wear. I don't think there's that much arm clearance, but what do I know? I mean, I'm sure there's hundreds of pages that we need to get into, but, you know, I'm not gonna lie. If I, like, saw this in a bargain box at a con, I'd probably buy it just to tickle my curiosity. There is a lot of cheesecake here. There's a lot of, like, safe for work but very scantily clad female characters. But, you know, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. Okay, well, now we're getting into... I just said that, and then I got to March 17th, 2010. So, you know, mayhap I spoke too soon. This is actually a perfect example of a lot of the criticism I have about young artists only being influenced by manga art style. It allows for laziness, and I said this back before Tark and I ever even started the podcast. Like, this was back in the Let's Play days when we were doing EDF. The beef I have with people only being influenced by manga is that it's so easy to just do like a template thing and let yourself get lazy. I don't need to learn how to draw faces in profile. I've learned how to draw the manga face from the How to Draw Manga book in profile. I don't need to actually make my character cute. In manga, the shorthand for a cute character is giving them one sharp fang. You know, hey, I already drew this character with a nose, so we're gonna draw them without noses in this panel because, you know, you got the idea. And that's not a universal catch-all thing. Again, you know, I just referenced a whole bunch of manga that I like to read. You know, I think Akira is beautifully illustrated. I think there's really, really good manga out there that doesn't do that stuff. The problem I have is when it's like a bunch of first-year art students are like, oh yeah, this is the look, and then they take all the superficial stuff without learning structurally what makes that an appealing art style. So just like here, you know, we're on March 17th. We started like what, mid-February? So they've been making this comic for about a month, and now suddenly, randomly, they're giving her the single fang because they want to make her cute. So it's like, oh, we're gonna give her the one sharp canine thing that all mangas do. You know, I guess I'm not gonna bitch too much about them drawing the characters without noses, because they've been doing that every couple of pages. They'll sort of do the super deformed, semi-chibi style and not give their characters noses, but... Oh wow, they have a Discord. We can join the Discord, guys. Let's see, brown recluse, brown fiddler, or maybe just Arachne? Oh, wow. Get a load of this hunk of man. We're on March 19th, by the way. So the professor is reporting to... Who did they say that was? I want to say that they called him Black Tiger and Mecha Girl, but I feel like that's going to be extremely racist, so... Don't cancel me, bro. Don't cancel me. Let's go back a few pages when the professor was losing his mind and see what's going on with that. Here's where she's calling the frat boys rapists. Come on, come on, come on. Black Tiger and Mecha Maid, yeah, okay. I'm not a racist, they are. And, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with a superhero called Black Tiger. It's when it's a black guy in a bright orange tiger jumpsuit that it's like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold up. So yeah, not the most egregious thing. This is actually, really not horrifically insulting as far as bad webcomic goes, but, I totally get what the wiki's saying. I totally get all of, like, it is very, very focused on the cheesecake. There is a lot of, shortcomings in the writing. But, so much of it, okay, yeah, I'm every time I'm like, we've probably got enough, we can move on to the next comic. March 22th, 2010 here, jeez, Black Tiger, from the front he didn't look like too much of a racist caricature, but from the side I'm not totally thrilled with how they do that. So, you know, at first I was going to say that, like, the majority of their influence was clearly manga, but then, also obviously a lot of Marvel, but now that they're bringing in these other superhero characters, it's pretty obvious that they have read a lot of Invincible, because this was from a day and age when people would read Invincible and not just look at the show and kind of formulate their opinions off of the comic. I don't think Turk likes Invincible too much, but, you know. Okay, and that is probably a perfectly valid place for us to stop this one, because it ends with her saying, "My spider sense is tingling that I'm sad." So, yeah. So, yeah, a lot of cheesecake art. Not the most egregious thing I've ever read. Could have definitely been better, but for damn sure could have been worse. So, I was not expecting... I was not expecting a six-armed Spider-Girl knockoff, but, you know, it do be what it do be. So not the resounding success that I was hoping, but not terrible. All right, another random page. Let's go back to the wiki. Come on, I clicked it. Random page. I guess we gotta go back to the main page and then click random page. It's still bringing us to Spinneret. So I guess, I wonder if we just, like, fucked up the cache, or if we'll need to... Maybe we can just refresh here, so... Reload the main page, then go back to random page. Shit, it's only bringing us to the Spinneret. Let's close the tab and reopen it. Go back to the Bad Web Comics wiki. Okay. Random page. Do they only show a random page per... Oh, wow. We missed a... we missed a Dryder in the comic. And we missed that three-headed furry chick. So, you know, we definitely did not see everything, but yeah, it's still going on. That's wild. Okay, so apparently we can't use the random page thing anymore, which is really frustrating. Apparently they only set their random page per review. Or they set their random page per day. Let's close out again and try just one last time, but yeah, I don't think we're gonna get it, man. Random page? Nope. Okay. That's disappointing. Okay, well, we have a whole lot of new reviews here on the main page. So I wonder if we want to do something like this? Or do we want to just, like, scum through the review index and see if there's anything? Okay, the newest reviews. Tall of Tales. Nile Guns. Krig Rauer. The Wallachian Library. The Princess's Jewels. 30-something Wolf. And Realm of Carolyn. So, Tall of Tales, that's T-A-I-L-S, so that's bound to be a furry comic. The Princess's Jewels is probably Hentai and Fetish Fuel, and obviously 30-something Wolf is going to be a furry comic. So let's just open those, and we will see which of these looks the best. And by best, I mean worst. And by worst, I mean I'm going to pour a shot of scotch. I was putting it down for the Liefeld stuff. I didn't really need it for Spinneret. But let's see. Come on, Wiki, don't let me down, man. You guys are the ones that introduced me to Sonic. You introduced me to Two Kinds. You introduced me to Dreaming of Paradise. Like, come on. Oh, here we go. Hell yeah. Tale of Tales. As soon as I opened it up.
Code Red. Porn.
Strong NSFW warning. The following comic contains naughty parts on full display and more than likely includes banging, screwing, porking, jacking, etc. Whether or not it's actually arousing is up for debate. Be on the lookout for more extreme fetishes as well, such as scat, vor, bestiality, and so forth. Getting caught with this comic in your browser history may lose you some friends or gain you some unwanted ones. Be with extreme caution, preferably in a deep, dark cave far away from anyone you know. Well... this podcast is just about the deepest, darkest cave that I know. We've got like 90 listeners, 60 of them are in Poland, so Polish listeners, I'm sorry. So here we go. It started in 2012. It is still ongoing. The genre is epic furry fantasy with around 30 to 40% porn. So this is what I was looking for. Spinneret was just a mild way for us to dip our toes in the water here. Alright, they are not showing a whole lot of intro stuff. Oh no, here we go, here's a sample page. This, oh god, yes, this is exactly what I was looking for. Oh man. Mid-tier art. I'm going to open this in an incognito window. You guys probably will want to as well if you're following along. Open link in new incognito window, please.
Welcome. The comics and materials on the site may contain naked bodies, dicks, breasts, cuteness, handholding, and other generally adult-oriented things. Viewer discretion is advised.
Comment field rules. Don't be a dick and no role-playing. Additionally, be mindful that I don't know the first thing about GDPR or handling cookies or stuff like that, so just, you know, you accept that by being here. Okay, well, the Feretta first page that it pulls up for us, because, you know, a good webcomic opens up on, wow. You know, a typical webcomic will open up on the most recent page, but, you know, we've got this centaur furry chick, burying another furry chick in her gigantic breasts, and then we get a full butthole shot as something metallic is starting to penetrate it anally. I'm gonna need to just polish off this shot here, because whap, yip, surprise. Okay, this is gonna be golden. Alright, first page, everybody. A tale of tales, Jesus Christ. A Tale of Tales, Chapter 1, Wanderer of Tales. So very painterly style on the background here. Not the worst thing in the world. So next page. I mean, this is very mid-art, I guess I would describe it as. I mean, you got your typical gray tones, because manga influence, why not? I mean, I don't hate anthropomorphic animal designs. I do not care for furry, but, I mean, like, this isn't, like, an egregious start to it. We've all made our mistakes in life. Some are met with understanding, others less so. Others still may change the very flow of their lives, whether by choice or not. They all follow the path. And so my flock grows. Okay, we got an establishing shot as she approaches a gate. Worst idea ever. And now she's trying, I guess, to get the rope outside of the gate to climb up it, or what? What's happening here? So she gets really mad that she can't pull on the rope outside of the gate. She says, no, 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 fuck, fuck, fuck. Throws her cloak off. Falls into the snow in her underwear, and have you given up so soon? So, you know, we're only a few pages in here, but already getting F-bombs, already getting some cheesecake. Now, they do a nice little Wizard of Oz transition into color here as the gates open. We're now in color. And, yeah, I'm not going to say this is the worst thing in the world, but we get the line, holy shit, she's tall, so maybe this was written for a Comey. Maybe they've touched on some of my interests here too, you know? You never know. Alright, so this gigantic dragon chick is leading this weird... I don't know. What is that with those ears? Is she like a fennec? Is she some kind of a fox? Could she possibly be like a lynx or something? I don't have a clue. This is the problem with like too generic furry art. Okay, so she leads her through her big vast hallways, and takes her to, a gigantic heated pool, of course. And yo! We did it, boys! We get our first nude scene here. So barely censored out, Nipnops in the, in the heated pool. And this is where the artwork is starting to fall apart, I think, because I think it's really, really obvious when you look at artists who actually understand how anatomy works versus artists who just learned how to draw based off of, like, fetish art. And so a really, really good example of that is, like, Heinrich Kley, pen and ink artist from late 1800s, I want to say. He was actually a big influence on the Disney Fantasia film, like Heinrich Kley, spectacular artist, and pretty much everything that he draws contains nudity, but it's not sexualized, it's just a depiction, or I guess at the most it's probably semi-sexualized, you know, he's got some things. And so, like... you can see that it's a display of his knowledge of anatomy. And then you have guys like Frank Frazetta or Boris Vallejo who, you know, their work is quite a bit more erotic than like Heinrich Kley's, but you can still see that they learned their art style from... they learned their art style from, like, actual good resources. They come from a background of knowing human anatomy, not just, I want to learn how to draw boobies because I like boobies, which is what you kind of see here. Like, is it egregiously bad? Is it unacceptable? No, I probably wouldn't buy this, but, like, it's very clear that, like, They learned how to draw this stuff from, like, an erotic how to draw manga book, where it's like, manga lesson, how to draw sexy girls, book number 64, you know, it's that kind of thing. So, you know, is it unviewable? No. Coming from, like, Rob Liefeld and Chris Chan levels, it's not unviewable. Is it good? Nah. Like... that second panel, like, they're trying for a bird's eye view, just does not work, but yeah, we get to bring in a whole nother furry chick, so now we, and that bottom panel, that's a bit rough, because they're not keeping their characters' head sizes consistent with the body, so now, like, both of their heads just look, like, way bigger. So it's like, I'm too distracted by how inconsistent the head size is to look at the furry boobies. I also love the facial expression of this other character, because they're trying for, like, the cutesy anime thing. They're trying for, like, the single line, closed eyes, and the big smile, but instead it just looks like she's going,
"Feels good, huh?"
That's great. How are you on time? Yeah, we're good on time. We can keep reading this a little bit. And she covers herself up. Whatever do you mean? And now it's so weird. As soon as they get into showing nudity, then they just get really, really lazy with the artwork, where it's like, I've spent 4 hours lovingly rendering these furry characters' breasts, and now that I have to draw the rest of the body, I am just tapped out, man. Just tapped out, you know, we're just gonna scribble the rest in, because that's all anybody's gonna look at. Honestly, the panel where the character's, like, cupping the water in her hands is not terrible. Again, not amazing, but not terrible. And it's funny here because, let's see, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 panels in. We can actually see clearly where the guy started using, where the artist started using references. It's so obvious that, If you compare the first panel to the fifth panel, it's like so, so clear that they pulled up reference art. And that's fine. You should use references. You should absolutely use references, especially if you're in over your head. If you don't know how to draw a car from memory, then there's no shame in looking at cars. So, you know, if you've never seen a set of breasts in profile, you should absolutely pull that up. But it's just, it's very, very funny that, like, there's a very notable difference in quality between the first panel and the fifth panel. And then in the panel after that, you can also see just, like, a notable drop in quality as far as just, like, anatomical correctness. I'm not even looking at this from, like, a sexualized perspective. It's just, like, what is the competence? So with the black stuff on their tails... Oh, are they, like... Oh, that's weird. Okay, those are tails in the background. So they got these weird characters with gigantic singed tails who heat the water. And, oh, they're heating the water by magic power. And then... and then it looks like this character is getting way up into the personal space of the other character. So I wonder if it's going to be like the spinneret and she's going to be like, you're a rapist, or is it just going to be like, I mean, clearly they're doing like the whole anime harem trope of like a character who's like way more comfortable in her nudity than the other one. So she pours herself a drink, she throws it back. Well, the whole time they're like touching nodules here on the chesticle region, you know, just trying to keep this... trying to keep this appropriate. Oh my god, I'm so glad we decided to review this one. So, whole time, they're touching nip to nip, which, you know, thank god they both have symmetrical nipples, otherwise it wouldn't be possible. She pours herself a drink, she throws it back, she pulls the main character in for a little smoochy-poochie. They're smooching, they're starting to get into it, and then she pushes back because, oh god, we actually see a full bad dragon dildo of a boner, at which point she says, holy shit, you have a cock. 7 pages in, we've got a shemale, ladies and gentlemen. got us a lady boy. Yo, dap it up, Dread Man. Yo. I mean, that's the thing. As the old saying goes, there are no chicks with dicks, there are only dudes with tits. But, I mean, you know, that's the thing with, like, chicks with dicks. I never know whether to be like, oh, holy shit, or just be like, hey, yo, nice cock, bro. Congratulations, it's bigger than mine. Like, good grief, that comes up to the bottom of a rib cage. That is, like, monstrous. So, oh, well, no, they were showing it from the very first panel. I just didn't notice. Not the first time that's got me in trouble. good God! So we move on to the next page, page 8, and it's like, good Lord. Oh, no. I might need another drink. This is... Oh. So she starts to run away in absolute terror, and now somehow this has like evaded our notice before, but this character just has a gigantic dragon cock. She's running away, and the other chick says, wait, I'm sorry, it was just a bit of a surprise, please don't go. They start making out again, and then she grabs the peck-peck. So ignoring just how immediately, like, 0 to 100, we went from page 6 to page 7 and into to now. Just ignoring all of that, I'm just going to point out in this first panel, the character with the orange fur and the blonde hair. This is a thing that really pisses me off with furry art, just because, you know, it's not good anatomy. It looks like the tail is coming completely out of the center of her spine. It doesn't look like it just flows naturally to the tailbone. It literally looks like it is just sprouting out of the small of her back, and it's not a good look. You know, even though I am not a furry, I think it's a little bit weird. I think there's a lot to be said for utilizing particular rules of anatomy. That ain't it. That ain't the look. That's bad. Let's get back to this furry trans hand job, shall we? How'd you even get this thing? I don't know. I was born with it. All the problems that come with it. Woo! God, we're 55 minutes in. This is probably going to be a two-parter. I don't want to end on this one. People are very understanding of unique traits. You know, that's what I say when I show women my cock. I don't know how to make it feel better, and then we just get a full-bore, super uncomfortably close-up blowy. Because, you know, that's a normal response to that whole thing. Especially, like, clearly this character was presented initially as a lesbian, you know? Like, she's sort of making out with the character she perceived to be a hot chick with big boobies, because that's what she should have been attracted to, but as soon as she sees the dick, she's like, oh yeah, I got this. Wow. It's so weird. Like, you would think if you're a porn artist, then you would really put extra effort into your porn scenes, but it seems like it has just gotten super, super lazy. And maybe that's just because this artist, like, firmly had their other hand just fully on their genitalia. I don't know. But it's just, like, a notable drop in quality. From, like, the first few pages, it was not egregious, but this is just, like, lazily done. Lazily done. Like, good grief. If you're going to be a bad artist and just draw porn, then you would think that at the very least, like, the genitalia and the breasts would be where you focus most of your attention on. Looks like the majority of their artistic energy was, you know, on the bicep in the bottom left panel, the bottom panel, rather. So, pretty wild. Pretty wild. So, okay, so the artist is Feretta. So, yeah, I legitimately have no idea if Feretta's a male name or a female name or what this person is. But, yeah, page 10, I don't know if we're looking at the old money shot here or what, but that's... yeah, that was it. And then they start, and they start swapping. Oh, God. This is wild. Absolutely wild. I didn't know tongues could do that. So, like, what... When did all this start? This started... Page 6. We're now on page 12. So, I think that the Bad Webcomics Wiki had it wrong. This is not 30 to 40% sex scenes. This is, like, so far we're a full 50% ratio, so. And, we get to the, yeah. With the line, big boy, so, I don't know if that's technically transphobic. It might be, like, hermaphrodite phobic. I don't know what this character actually is. It says it was born with it, but it's also got, like, fully female body. Doesn't make any sense, from, like, a fantasy perspective. Oh, yeah, no, they address it. Big boy, girl, sorry, this is a little odd. I think it'd be a little bit hard to maintain a boner with a mouthful of your own spooge. That's just, you know, that's just me. That's just me. Don't worry about it. No, you should address this. It's like the art style changes every goddamn page. This is ridiculous. Bottom bit is so thick. Mark that down, guys. Take note. It's just, there's no consistency to the art style, none whatsoever. Even the coloring style is changing page by page. But now, suddenly, we're going from, like, thicker inking lines and more of a manga influence. Now it's like, oh, suddenly this character is... This fully female character is just completely ripped and shredded and has a six-pack and like, fully defined bicep muscles. This is... I'm more frustrated at how inconsistent the art direction is than to be able to discuss the cringiness of, like, drawing now 8 pages of furry porn. Good grief, man. Yeah, like, not even any dialogue on this. This doesn't even advance... anything. It's just like, oh yeah, we just met, you know, we just met in the hot springs, we were both naked, and then it just kind of escalated. The shit went from 0 to 100 real quick. And, yuck. Oh, we've got a hentai classic here, though. On page 15, we've got a hentai classic, which is the X-ray view. Wow. This is not how I expected this episode to go. I don't want to end on the cream pie. I don't want to end part one on a cream pie, but we may have to. Got the character saying, holy shit, that is hot. Again, art style change. Like, this art direction is completely inconsistent. You know, I skipped dinner to record this episode. I'm just going to toss that out there. Okay. That could be the note that we end on. Good grief. This one has great potential, don't you think? Already making friends, too. Yeah, that's friends for you. I fuck all my friends. Should I prepare your chamber, mistress? Yes, my little friend. I think we're about to have a very long night. Oh, no. Hopefully not longer than that scene, because good God. Yeah, that's the end of the first chapter. It brings us to chapter 1.5, The Dreamer. So, wow. Yeah, that was a tale of tales. I gotta say, you know, the spinneret was underwhelming, but this was really bad. Really bad, and there was just a steady decline in artistic direction the further into it it went. It's like we were witnessing the artist in real time be too horny to finish the comic properly. So it's like the first couple of pages was like, yeah, you know, not amazing, not bad, and then by the end of it was like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? So yeah, well, this is a good point for me to take another drink break, and, you know, we'll get into part two here in just a second.
All right there, folks, that was Our Moms Think We're Funny. Let's give them a hand.